In order for Mary Kane to do well, she was expected to lose weight at an alarming rate. As a sports dietitian, do you come across many cases where, success is placed upon appearances rather than performance or the actual talent of the individual?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually doing my PhD at Swinburne University in Melbourne as well. And I'm looking at the culture of sport and how it really emphasises this kind of body ideal in sport, whether that be football or it be running or whatever kind of sport it is, there's a particular body ideal. And often what that's interpreted to be is that you have to look a certain way to be able to perform, when really the actual behaviours and the doing side of sport is so much more complex. So I think that's what we're seeing here with the Mary Kane story is someone's really felt empowered to be able to speak out about that immense pressure when really there could have been so many other ways that they were being helped to achieve that performance.
Because when we talk about the pressure that is on sports people, certainly young sports people, generally we are thinking performance, not so much these issues that... Well, let's face it, we know other teenagers and other young people are facing, but we don't necessarily put ourselves into that same headspace when thinking of sports people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as it emerges and as more people talk about this kind of story, I think we'll start to see how common it is. And I think with athletes, we often see them and we identify them as an athlete, but we forget they are humans and they're capable of internalizing and experiencing exactly what anyone else would. And what we know with athletes as well is they have significantly higher rates of eating disorders than the general population. So I think we often forget to really actually explore that with our athletes and, you know, asking those questions of, are you okay? What's going on for you? As we would with any other human.
I mean, what kind of long-term impact can that have on these young people's health when they are being torn in two different directions at once, one in the direction to perform, one in the direction to be conventionally attractive or have this this certain kind of body that's expected of them?
Yeah, so as part of my PhD, I've actually been looking into retired athletes. So interestingly, we put so much funding and emphasis into these athletes while they're in their sport. And what I've seen in the research and in particular in practice as well is that we often just forget that these athletes, they finish their sport and we don't really talk about them anymore. You can see it often, you know, with AFL players or ex-swimmers, and they talk about and come out with their struggles around finishing elite sport. And I think if we're not having those conversations, we don't really have a good idea of how that's affecting people long term. The research that we know so far really indicates that it's not great, especially around those body image issues. And I think, you know, just talking about those normal body composition changes that would happen for people, that they're not going to, quote unquote, look like an athlete forever, that can be a really hard thing to grapple with in terms of mental health.
In fact, I was speaking to somebody about this issue specifically in regards to football players a couple of weeks ago, but generally speaking, of course, all athletes, there's a need for more support after sport, a need for something to help them transition.
Yeah, I completely agree. I used to be a distance runner myself, so I know how common it is for people to just step away from the sport and never really be included in that community anymore. So I think we see it often with AFL players who come back into the sport. They have more of a platform, but I think there's so many former athletes that don't really get to talk about their story, and it's powerful. I know personally so many elite athletes that have a story around it, but no one's really, asked. And I think they're the people that we're not speaking to that really could be those advocates for change in sport.
Now, Mary Kane is obviously using the media to her advantage to get this story out there to make sure that that she is understood and people dealing with this issue are being understood and heard. But in terms of your typical media portrayals of the fantastic success story, the star athlete, how do these ones actually exacerbate the problem?
Right, so as in Mary being exacerbating the problem?
Yeah, in terms of her being depicted, obviously, as a very successful individual and this fantastic athlete, when she is going through all of these struggles behind the scenes.
Totally. So I think it's really easy to focus on the stories that have come out of it. So what we're seeing with Mary, her story is really palatable for people because she's come out of these struggles. You know, she was in a really, dire mental health space, and now she's okay. But I think often it's the people who are still finding difficulty in navigating themselves in those spaces that we really need to think about and really consider how they're falling through the gaps. Mary had a really great quote as well that she mentioned in the New York Times and said, "We don't typically hear from the casualties of these systems, the girls who tried to make their way in this system until their bodies broke down and they left the sport." And I think that's just the case. We really like to focus on the success stories rather than hearing the whole range.
And of course, just as a final point, taking a step backwards from athletes themselves, how do we as a society encourage healthy attitudes towards appearance when, as you mentioned before, we're a whole bunch of different bodies out there. There's a whole range of different bodies out there, regardless of whether you're playing sports or not. How do we encourage that sort of healthy attitude?
Yeah, I love this question. This is largely what I work with athletes and non-athletes as well in a sort of body image space as part of my dietetics practice. And I think it's actually what we can all do is we all form the culture, whether it's in sport or it's our workplace, it's our society, and really checking ourselves when we comment on anyone's bodies. So I really like the example of, say, you know, AFL women start of next year. You know, noticing, are we commenting on their bodies? Whether it's good or bad, it can be still reinforcing body ideals and really negative behaviours. And whether those, you know, those athletes in particular hear those messages, it's when the people around us hear it as well that they internalize, you know, how a body is meant to look. And there is no right way of how a body is meant to look. We're meant to look different. We're all meant to have different shapes and sizes. And body diversity is something that doesn't really get encouraged much. And I think that's something we can all start to do.
Fabulous. Well, Georgie, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time on this one this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.